Hello and welcome to this edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by first-time guest of the show, Johnny Rambos, correct?
Yep, Johnny Rambos, how you want, brother?
Hey, man, let me just tell you, first of all, that's a badass last name, Johnny Rambos, like, or Rambos. Like, either way you say it, it's just a badass last name.
Thank you, man. I like when people call me Rambo. Sometimes they call me Rambo. Sometimes you get a car, baby. I said, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, no, it's a great name. It's a fantastic name, actually. So, but the reason we have you on here, Johnny, is not to talk about how badass your name is, but actually about your favorite NFL football team. This podcast, we're kind of doing a thing where July, we're trying to get as many writers, podcasters as possible that are fans of different teams onto the show to talk about their podcast a little bit, and also more importantly, kind of delve into the roster of the teams that they root for. So let me just ask you a few intro questions here. So where are you from, man?
I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, but I attend Clemson University.
Oh, wow. So who's your favorite NFL team, then?
My favorite NFL team is the Houston Texans. I was kind of a Carolina Panthers fan back in the day, but I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan, so I kind of, you know, when Deshaun Watson got drafted by the Texans, I instantly became a Houston Texans fan.
So it's a fairly recent conversion for you.
Yeah, I would say probably about a year, but I started following pretty closely. I mean, to be honest, when Deshaun got hurt last year, I didn't follow me as closely because I'm more of a Deshaun fan than a Texans fan, but I follow their offseason moves and pretty much everything they do in the offseason. I want Deshaun to have as much stuff around him as possible.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. So, a side question, Clemson, they did pretty well last year despite, like, losing Deshaun Watson. Any thoughts on, like, their season? Can you give me, like, an off-the-spot, totally unprepared record prediction for them this year?
No, and I'm not being biased when I say this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that this is one of the best Clemson football teams in the history of Clemson football team this year. We've got a freshman quarterback named Trevor Lawrence. I've been following recruiting for about 15 years, and Rivals.com said this is the best prospect they've ever seen in the history of their website. But they set foot on campus, they were already comparing him and saying he was, like, way ahead of Deshaun Watson than where Deshaun Watson was his freshman year. So I'm just going to go ahead and bold and say 14-1 with a national championship victory. And I'm not even going to buy it. The climb is ridiculous. This is the deepest Clemson team in my lifetime we've ever had.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's pretty exciting to be a part of, I'd imagine. But yeah, so that's obviously good. So I'll be keeping an eye on that because I'm also not a huge college football guy. I'm from Utah, so of course I root for the Utah Utes. But I really love Clemson as far as out of conference football teams go for me. I think they're a really good program, and I'd love to go see a game at Death Valley sometime. I think that'd just be wild.
Yeah, my dad played football there, actually, so we get 8 season tickets a year. So you're in the area, let me know. Hit me up, man. You're more welcome to come to a game.
Oh, for sure, man. We'll do. So let's move on to the professional football here, and let's talk about your favorite team, the Houston Texans. So, obviously, it sounds like Deshaun Watson's kind of your favorite player now, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, so seeing as you've just kind of recently come onto the team, we usually ask, you know, who's your favorite player of all time, but I'll change that question. Outside of Deshaun Watson right now on the Houston Texans, not who is your favorite player, but who do you believe is their best player?
DeAndre Hopkins. I think DeAndre Hopkins far ahead of, you know, J.J. Watt's a great player, but he's kind of fallen off in recent years, and Jadeveon Clowney's a stud as well. But I think DeAndre Hopkins is probably the best player outside of Deshaun Watson. I think he's kind of quarterback-proof in the sense he could play with just about anybody. You know, Tom Savage can come in. You just kind of throw the ball in DeAndre Hopkins' vicinity, and he's going to come down with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of talk about the receiving core. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is just this amazing wide receiver that whoever you give to throw to him, he's going to put up amazing numbers, and he's going to give them the best chance to win games. A guy I'm really curious about this year is Will Fuller, who performed really well last year, but when Deshaun Watson went down, I believe he didn't have a single over 50-yard game with Tom Savage at quarterback. So do you think that Will Fuller's the real deal, or do you think that at some point here soon the Texans are going to have to draft some more receiver depth? Because it seems like that's something they've kind of gone up, they haven't really focused on.
Well, I absolutely think that he's the real deal. I think Will Fuller is 100% the real deal. I think he fits the part of the team. My thing with him is that Fuller is a receiver that is almost a straight-line receiver. He's built on speed, a little bit of athleticism. But to have a quarterback like Tom Savage come in, Tom Savage doesn't throw a great deep ball. So the difference between Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, or you throw it up DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to come down with a football. The thing that is Will Fuller, who kind of needs a good quarterback to be great. You know what I'm saying? He's not quarterback proof, right, but he is a great receiver. He just kind of has to have a quarterback helping him out, which to me makes total sense. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is, one of the top 10 receivers in the league that's quarterback proof. Outside of that, quarterbacks usually need, or wide receivers need a good quarterback, excuse me. But I think Will Fuller is a real deal, man. I mean, look what he did with Deshaun Watson. And all the attention goes to New Compton's, and then Will Fuller gets single coverage. And he's going to burn your ass. I mean, he's just that good of a receiver, man.
Yeah, for sure. He had some really great games with Deshaun Watson. Of course, the game where right before Watson tore his ACL in training camp against Seattle, put up 125 yards with two touchdowns. And before those games, had put up 62 and 57-yard games with one touchdown between those two games that Watson also started. You know, kind of looking at the sample size that we saw from Fuller last year, which obviously wasn't the full season because he started the year out with that collarbone injury, I believe, correct? It was a shoulder injury of some sort?
Yeah, he had a collarbone injury. He broke it in the offseason, so he had to recover a couple games last year.
Yeah, no, he came out kind of slow, but unfortunately he was just hitting his stride right as Deshaun Watson went out, and the one thing that, like, I think a lot of people don't realize is that before Deshaun Watson went out last year, the Texans were a really good football team that looked like they could challenge for the AFC Championship. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that statement. I think they were really feeling when Deshaun Watson in the game, but when Deshaun Watson leaves, he's a one-of-a-kind quarterback, so it's really hard to kind of replace what he brings to a team. You know what I'm saying? He creates plays with his feet, with his mind. He's an extremely smart football player, and he opens things up for other people. He opens up the running game because you have to fear Deshaun Watson running the football. You also have to fear him throwing the football. And what people don't know is that he's actually a thrower before he's a runner. People like to assume that he's a dual-threat quarterback, that he's a better runner than thrower, but that's just not the truth. Deshaun Watson has one of the best arms in the league, and he's a very accurate quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I was extremely impressed with his arm strength. I mean, all you have to do is go back and watch that Patriots game in week 3 last year. He used very little of his legs to gain yardage in that game, but was massively successful in tearing apart the Patriots secondary deep down the field with his arm. I think he put up something like 350 yards in that game. And then you look at the game he had against Seattle right before he got hurt, which is like the wild thing, is he was also like really hitting his stride right when he got injured. In that, as I pull up the stats here, in that Seattle game, I believe he had, yeah, that's right. He had 402 yards in that Seattle game, and against New England, he put up 301 yards. Now, granted, New England's defense wasn't great, but at the time, Seattle's defense was really what they were leaning on, and Watson put up some big numbers. I was really impressed with his arm strength. One thing that does kind of... Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he's got really good arm strength. He's also, in my opinion, one of the clutchest quarterbacks in football already. I mean, he comes in the league and he's battling Tom Brady and Russell Wilson to the last minute. two of the other clutchest quarterbacks in the league who are going to come through always. And watching him lose both of those games in the last, you know, the final seconds of the game was tough. It just shows you Deshaun Watson, at 21 years old, came into the league to tear it up, and his future is only going to get brighter. You know, he's already torn his ACL once. Like I said, people assume because he's already torn his ACL that this might be it, or he may not be as good. That's wrong. You know, when he was at Clemson, he trained harder than anybody. He tore his ACL. He beat South Carolina on a torn ACL. And, I mean, he used his arm strength that game. People who are thinking Deshaun Watson is not going to be back, he's going to be back 100%.
Right. Do you think that he'll be ready to go week one?
Yeah, he'll absolutely be ready to go week one. He might even be ready to go training camp and might play a couple preseason games.
Right, of course. So let's move on here. To kind of a guys that Deshaun Watson hands the ball off to. The running backs in Houston, I've always kind of, I guess maybe I overlook them or maybe I'm underestimating them, but to me, Lamar Miller has never been that it back that can really make a difference, like, say, a Dalvin Cook or an Ezekiel Elliott or a Le'Veon Bell. He's never been that back that can give you enough yardage to win you a game, if that makes sense. Am I missing something with Lamar Miller? And kind of talk to me about the backfield and why I should believe in the running game, because especially with the O-line looking as bad as it did the second half of last year, I'm not really convinced that the Texans are going to have a great running game this year.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to worry about an offensive line. Deshaun Watson is going to win games. He makes his offensive line better because he creates more time and spaces, which a lot of other quarterbacks can't do. His football IQ is so much higher, but when his offensive line, people will get to him, but he makes people miss, and he creates plays with his legs when he throws the ball downfield. So you have to watch for that. So the defensive ends kind of have to play off a little bit. You can't full-on rush him every play. So when you're sitting back and you're kind of letting these running backs, and things are opening up, you know what I'm saying? Your linebacker's getting coverage. The line starts opening up a little bit more. So I don't think Lamar Miller is a game-breaking running back. I think Deontay Foreman's ceiling may be a little bit higher. And I think Deontay Foreman's actually going to get more touches by the end of this year. I think Deontay ends up this year with more touches than Lamar Miller. And I don't think Lamar Miller is a game-breaker. But I think either way, they're both going to have good seasons. I think they're both going to get a lot of touches. And I think they're going to be able to run the ball, I think, wonderfully. I think the offensive line has to be great for them to run the ball good because of what Deshaun Watson does, and that's open every single thing up. He just opens stuff up, and I've never been a huge Lamar Miller believer. I still am not. I've had him on multiple fantasy teams, and trust me, I'm not a believer after the fantasy football season with him. But I do think that he's good enough to, you know, 3 or 4 yards of carry, and Deontay Foreman comes in and punches in the goal line. Lamar Miller's going to have a couple big runs a game. He's not a terrible running back. He's a serviceable running back at the NFL level.
Right, yeah. No, I agree with that, and I think you're right. The key word is serviceable. But that is kind of one thing that concerns me about the Texans is that, you know, I get what you're saying with Deshaun Watson. I shouldn't be worried about him coming back from injury, but if he has to be the bulk of that running game, like, are you a little bit worried? Like, knee injuries are, especially ACLs, are very serious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. I don't think he's going to run as much as he did last year. But people who are saying he's going to be Robert Griffin and he's going to come back and he's never going to be as good. Deshaun Watson is a good runner, but he runs when he has to. He creates plays with his legs, but he does a lot of the time either scrambling out of the pocket or making people miss in the pocket. And I just think that he's not going to have to run it. They're probably not going to put as much pressure on him this year to run the ball. But I think that Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman will be fine running the ball. I don't think it's something to worry about.
Right. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and I think one of the biggest questions a lot of diehard football fans are having right now. Are you worried that J.J. Watt is kind of getting to the point of his career where he's now a quote-unquote injury-prone player?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, he's been injured, what, 2 or 3 seasons in a row. He can't stay healthy, and he does great things with the community off the field, but at the same time, you know, you got to start asking the question. I thought that he even might get cut maybe this offseason, not because of his talent, but you can't keep a guy signed to one of the richest contracts in NFL history who's hurt every year. You know, and I don't want it to be a bad breakup, but I do think that J.J. Watt's time is coming to an end in Houston unless he has a great season this year, because you can't keep, you know, paying this guy upwards of $100 million to stay hurt every season. So I do think he's going to be a great player. I think it's, you know, this is kind of his make-or-break year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but I do think that even last year when he was healthy, I know a lot of Texans fans seem to think that he wasn't playing great, but he was still a major difference maker on that line last year when he was healthy at stopping the run. And yeah, his sack numbers went down, but I think sack numbers these days are so over amplified to the public that we forget that defensive linemen do other things too, like stopping the run and helping other linebackers get to the quarterback. And I still thought Watt could do that effectively when he was healthy. Were you one of those people who kind of thought that he declined in play at all last year?
I mean, he definitely declined from the year before, but it wasn't a huge drip or dip. I mean, he dipped a little bit, but I mean, every player coming off an injury is going to dip a little bit. You know, there's Adrian Peterson who came back better, but that doesn't happen all the time. You know, naturally, when you come back from a pretty serious injury, you're probably not going to be as good as you once were. And I think J.J. Watt only really played like 3 or 4 games last year. Like, he had a really short season last year. It was a very small sample size. I mean, who knows what he would have done with 16 games under his belt.
So if J.J. Watt's not the guy on the defensive line, who is?
Well, D.J. Reader. D.J. Reader is actually another Clemson guy who's a stud defensive tackle. Depends, you know, they switch Clowney sometimes and Whitney Merciless playing. Sometimes they play in, sometimes they play outside linebacker for blitzing purposes. So it really just depends, man. I mean, it's a really good defensive line and linebacker core with Zach Cunningham back there as well. Losing Brian Cushing was, I would say, a pretty big loss, but I think their defensive line is pretty deep. They have Carlos Watkins on their 2 deep as well, another Clemson guy. So I don't know. I think the defensive line is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, no, I've been kind of doing these season previews that I write up for a blog I write for, and looking through all the rosters, and the Texans, like, despite the defensive line, kind of moving away from the defensive line here, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think they have the deepest linebacking core in the league.
Yeah, I do as well, actually. Their linebacking core is deep, man. I mean, they've got guys all over. Even, I thought losing Christian might be big for them, but their linebacking core is going to be really, really good this year. They're going to be after quarterbacks all year. That's, if everybody can stay healthy, they might end up the team in the NFL with the most sacks next year.
Yeah, I think that Bernardrick McKinney is a guy who, on that linebacking core, kind of goes unnoticed with, as you were saying, the Whitney Mercilesses and the Jadeveon Clowneys. Bernardrick McKinney played really, really well last year. I don't think people realize that. He put up some decent numbers, and he ended up being one of their best run stoppers.
Yeah, he was a stud last year, man. Absolutely. I mean, he played like a gangbanger. And Zach Cunningham was really good as well last year, so.
Yeah, 95 tackles last year, and the year before he had 129. So he was hurt for a little bit of last year, but like he performed really well. I think that people kind of sleep on him as a linebacker. My question for you would be, this defense is obviously really good. What do you think the weakness of this defense is, though?
I think it's their cornerbacks. I think their cornerbacks are getting pretty old. I think their secondary overall may be okay. Tyrann Mathieu was a really big addition in the offseason. But I think Jonathan Joseph's getting a little bit old. And I'm not a huge Kareem Jackson believer, so I don't know, man. I think they're getting a little bit old, but I'm just not sure how they're going to play quarterbacks. And I think they're going to be, you know, Stanford's not going to be able to compete for a role besides Tyrann Mathieu. So I think their safeties are going to be okay, but their quarterbacks are going to be kind of killed in this season. They're just too old.
Yeah, as a guy who watched a lot of the Pac-12, let me just tell you right now that Justin Reed, you're getting a real stud in him. I can't believe that he fell to where he did in the draft. I believe he was a third rounder. But he really performed well at Stanford for his entire career there, and I think was one of the best safeties in the Pac-12 during his time at Stanford. So I'd imagine that he comes in and makes an immediate impact, and I'd say wins a starting job for them. So let's kind of move away from the weakness of the defense to kind of the overall strength of the team. What do you think the biggest position of strength for this team is?
I mean, I know we've reiterated a lot, but I'm probably needing quarterback.
Right.
Without number four, then they're nothing. You saw that happen last year when Tom Savage came in. If number four is not on the field, then they're probably a 3 or 4 win team. With him on the field, well, they could be an 11 to 12 win team. I mean, their ceiling's that high. It's just we'll see how it all unfolds this season.
Right. That brings me to kind of my next question here, which is the highest – you talked about ceiling. As I said, I've been looking through these rosters, writing these things up, and I have a ceiling and a floor on all these teams. I think that the Texans have the highest ceiling and the lowest floor in the entire league. I don't think there's any in between. I think they could end up being a 5-win team, or I think they could end up being a 13-win team and going to the AFC Championship. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I think they have a really low floor. I mean, I think that depends on Deshaun Watson's health. I mean, that's what it depends on, man. They're a 5-1 team if he gets hurt. They're a 13-1 team if he's healthy. So, I mean, like you said, it just all depends on the health of his knees and if he stays healthy this season.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your expectations for this coming season?
I would say probably 10 to 12 wins with a playoff appearance. And maybe a playoff win. Well, it's Deshaun Watson's second season. Let's see if he makes it out fully healthy. That's what my hope is. And my expectations are pretty high. I don't think they're going to come out with a Super Bowl this year. I think they have the potential to, but I don't think they're going to do that in Deshaun's second year, even though he's a very mature quarterback with a high football IQ. But I think they could definitely, maybe win a wild card playoff game, because they're in the same division, as Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Tennessee. If Andrew Luck's healthy, that's the best division in football. So, right now you're looking at the best division in football, so they got to get out of that. They're playing these teams twice a year, so it could be a really tough division all year.
Right, absolutely. So, who do you think is going to be the toughest team to compete with in the division this year?
The Jaguars. I would say the Jaguars, no contest. Their defense is unbelievable, and the Houston Texans strengthens their offense and their defense. But, I say Deshaun Watson, if they could put up 21, 24 points, they probably win that game. I think Blake Bortles is going to have a really bad dip year. I think he's going to decline a lot this year. He continues to decline every year he's been in the league. So I think this year is probably going to be his worst statistical year. And the Jaguars probably part with him. But their defense is what's going to keep them afloat because they have the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's partly right. I'm a little bit of a bigger Bortles fan, I guess. I think that people crap on him a little too much. He's a game manager. He's a stopgap. I get that. But, I mean, I'd still take him over, say, a rapidly declining quarterback like Eli Manning. So, I'm a Bortles believer. But, yeah, I think you're right that the Jaguars are definitely the biggest competition. If you had to pick out kind of something that I haven't covered thus far in our conversation that you'd like to kind of maybe speak more on, what would that be?
Maybe just talk about the division and how tough it is. I think Bruce Ellington, the kid from South Carolina, I think he's going to make a splash this year with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. I think Bruce Ellington could end up being a real stud. The tight end position is still a huge question because C.J. Fedorowicz is, I think he retired, actually, or he's either on injured reserve list.
Yes, he retired.
Some of the concussions. Yeah, you're tired. So, I mean, the tight end position is going to be a huge question. It's going to be all the unfolded in training camp. It's just going to be really tough for Deshaun Watson to, having a tight end is pretty crucial. This entire time at Clemson, he had Jordan Leggett. Jordan Leggett could end up being the starter on the Jets this year. So it's just a real confusing situation. But I don't know. I mean, you pretty much covered it all, man. But I have a couple questions for you. Who's your NFL team?
Oh, my NFL team is I'm a Broncos fan. So. Kind of living in Utah, Broncos are what kind of came through on the TV. I also have a lot of my family that lives in Boulder. My uncle's a Broncos season ticket holder, so I kind of got born into it. But I'm a big Broncos fan, so that's kind of who I root for.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, what do you think, Case Keenum's gonna have a good year?
I'm still formulating my opinion on that one. I think I've been a big respect Case Keenum guy for for a while. Throughout really the duration of last season on this podcast and in everything I've written, I've been a huge respect Case Keenum guy, but I'm not sure if I respect Case Keenum at the moment. I think it really depends on the situation he's put in. If the offensive line struggles like they did last year, then I don't think it ends well for him. But if they can put up a solid offensive line, like, they have some decent targets. They might, and the defense, they added Bradley Chubb. I mean, he's a great pass rusher. I'm a pretty pessimistic NFL fan, to be honest. I talk to a lot of people that come on the podcast, and they say, not to single you out, this is almost everyone, and they say, oh, well, they should be a playoff team, or they should be this, they should be that. And even if I have the best team, I'm always going to set my expectations very low, so I'm not disappointed.
No, my brother's actually a Clemson student as well. We live together, but he's the exact opposite of me. He's always a pessimist about Clemson football, and I'm always really, really positive about it until it actually happens. And I'm like freaking out because usually Clemson usually goes below the standard, but recently, past couple years, you know, winning that championship and all that mess, I've started to look a little bit higher. So I get that 100%, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think that's all I've got.
Thanks for having me on, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. To our listeners, you'll be hearing this about, I don't know, probably Wednesday, or I might put it out this weekend, depending on how I'm feeling. And then we will have maybe two episodes this upcoming week as we interview a 49ers fan. So hopefully we could get all 32 teams knocked out. I know it's a lot. So far, I think we have four after this. So if you have a podcast or a blog and listen to this and are a fan of an NFL team, hit us up, endzonepod@gmail.com, and we'll get that set up. Hey, Johnny, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Eric. Have a good one, brother.
Bye-bye. Follow us on Twitter @EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.